Srimad-Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 8, Text 11. Iti-kritanu-sangha-asana-shayanatana snanasana-adishu sahamriga-jahuna snayanu-baddha-hridaya-asit. Due to attachment for the deer, Maharaj Bharat lay down with it, walked about with it, bathed with it, and even ate with it. Thus his heart became bound to the deer in affection. Kusha kusuma samit palasha pala mulo dakan yahar ishamano vrikashala vrikadi bhyo bhayam asham samano yada saha harina kunakena vanam samavishati. Should we do the word for word meanings? Kusha, a kind of grass required for ritualistic ceremonies. Kusuma, flowers. Summit, firewood. Palasha, leaves. Palamula, fruits and roots. Udakani, and water. Aharishyamanaha, desiring to collect. Vrikasala, vrika, from wolves and dogs. Adibhyaha, and other animals, such as tigers. Bhayam, fear. Asham samanaha, doubting. Yada, when. Saha, with. Harina kunakena, the deer calf. Vanam, the forest. Samavishati, enters. When Maharaj Bharat wanted to enter the forest to collect kusha grass, flowers, wood, leaves, fruits, roots, and water, he would fear that dogs, jackals, tigers, and other ferocious animals might kill the deer. He would therefore always take the deer with him when entering the forest. Purported. How Maharaj Bharat increased his affection for the deer is described herein. Even such an exalted personality as Bharat Maharaj, who had attained loving affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fell down from his position due to his affection for some animal. Consequently, as will be seen, he had to accept the body of a deer in his next life. Since this was the case with Bharat Maharaj, what can we say of those who are not advanced in spiritual life, but who become attached to cats and dogs? Due to their affection for their cats and dogs, they have to take the same bodily forms in the next life, unless they clearly increase their affection and love for the Supreme Personality of God. Unless we increase our faith in the Supreme Lord, we shall be attracted to so many other things. That is the cause of our material bondage. Sneha, affection. Is that the word used here? Yes, sneha anubandha. Sneha means affection, and naturally it means attachment also. When we have affection, we become attached to the object of our affection. So that's good, very good, as long as the object of our affection is Krishna. But when that affection goes elsewhere, it can be a source of degradation. We think of affection as a good quality. Hatred is a bad quality, and affection is a good quality. But actually, hatred and affection are both bad qualities, because they're both connected with this material world. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says one has to become free from attachment and aversion. Both. Prabhupada wrote a very fine essay in Dr. Godhead in the old days, in which he pointed out that someone had made some statement about the evils of hatred between nations, and Prabhupada said that this hatred between nations is just the flip side of love, of national love. I hate your country because I love my country. We think that we're all against hatred between nations, but we're all for affection for our own nation. Affection, attachment. If a person is willing to die for his country, we think he's a very great man. But it's this very affection which is the cause of the hatred. They go together because they both belong to the world of material duality. And that duality comes from forgetfulness of Krishna. They both come from forgetfulness of Krishna. So animals also are natural objects of affection. Little children see an animal and they become affectionate to the animal. And in the especially materialistic society, that's encouraged. Even the parents will think that it's good for the child to develop an affectionate character, so he should have some pet. So they'll get a cat or a dog or a mouse or a bird as a pet for the child, so that the child will learn to be affectionate. But that's not the Vedic way to learn to be affectionate to animals. Rather, Brikshit Maharaj, his family got him deities, and he became affectionate from his very early age to Krishna. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, his father gave him Radha Krishna Vigraha, and he was attached to Krishna. This is the real thing, to become attached to Krishna. Anya Vilashita Shunya. The Krishna consciousness means to make all other attachments zero. Anya Vilashita Shunya. And materialistic society means, Prabhupada said, Anya Vilashita Purna. Full attachment. So Maya is very tricky. Maya tricked Bharat Maharaj. This poor deer has lost its mother. Now the little deer cub is dependent on you. No one else is there to look after him. So in this way, Maya tricked him, that you have to take care of this deer. And by taking care of the deer, he became affectionate toward it. And so much so that it's described that he was lying down with the deer, he was bathing with the deer, he was eating with the deer, he was walking with the deer. The deer became his best friend. Even the saying is that the dog is a man's best friend. He's made his best friend the dog. So in his next life, he may have to take the body like his best friend. This is the problem. In the Western countries especially, they're very much friendly in this way. Of course, they're friendly to the cats, they're friendly to the dogs, they're friendly to the birds, and they eat the cows. This is their friendship. This is their friendship. That this animal is my friend and this animal is my food. Where is the sense to it? And that too, this useless animal that simply, of course not totally useless, dogs bark, which is sometimes useful. But they're generally obnoxious. The obnoxious animal I make my friend, and the most useful animal, and the animal most dear to Krishna, I make my victim. This is called degradation. Krishigauraksha Vanija. The whole class of men, Vaishyas, are meant to protect the cows. And these foolish people are killing the cows. Killing the cows and feeling sorry for the dogs. This is their situation. So, even such a great soul as Bharat Maharaj, what to speak of ordinary persons, even such a great soul as Bharat Maharaj was tricked by Maya in this way. Maya is very tricky. It's not that Maya just comes and walks in and says, I'm Maya, do you want me? Or would you rather have Krishna? Make your choice. No, Maya comes in a different way. That this won't hurt your Krishna consciousness. This will actually make you more soft-hearted, and with a softer heart, you'll worship Krishna better. Maya comes in through some, even it's mentioned in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that as Gop Kumar was passing through the different layers of the universe, he finally came to the layer of the total material elements, Pradhan. And in each layer, he met the predominating deity of that element. And when he got to Pradhan, the predominating deity was Maya herself. And Maya, he saw it was such a beautiful place, Pradhan. It had this beautiful blue color that was something like Krishna's color. And Maya said to him that, why be so anxious to leave? Stay here, where the full manifestation of the material energy is available for you, and where whatever you want, you can have. And even if you want liberation, you can have that here. And even if you want devotional service, I'm the younger sister of Vishnu. So you stay here with me and you'll get that also. So Maya, in so many ways, offered him whatever. Even if you want to be Krishna conscious, then I'm Maya, I'll help you. But Maya is very tricky. One time Srila Prabhupada said that the trouble with his disciples, I think he said Western disciples, but anyway, disciples, is they're not sufficiently afraid of Maya. Not sufficiently afraid of Maya. Someplace, Chanakya Pandit says that one should be very careful about what flowing rivers, and he has a list, like flowing rivers, women, animals with horns, and so on. We go close to the swiftly flowing river, and we think everything is okay, and the next thing we're drowning. Every year in Mayapur, we lose some devotee who thinks that it's alright to just go bathing out into the Ganga and disappears. And all the time, we lose devotees who think that they can just play around a little bit with some nice girl and still be Krishna conscious and everything will be fine. But Maya is very sharp. We may be a little lax in our devotional service. She's not. She's always on the job. An expert. A devotee is expert. Maya is a great devotee. She's expert. So she finds different ways to. She'll come in the front door, she'll come in the side door, she'll come in the back door, she'll come through the chimney, she'll find some way to get in. Now, we have to be exceedingly careful. So here we're finding that this is one of the problems, that we develop an affection for something. Of course, generally, another incident. One time one god sister of ours had a baby, and then the Prabhupada came to that temple where she was staying, and she showed him the baby, you know, offering the baby to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, "So, your baby is nice, or Krishna is nice?" Now, it doesn't mean that all mothers should now trash their babies and not give them affection. But it means that even with that affection, we have to keep in mind that our real affection is for Krishna, and that our affection for children or husband or wife or whatever should be in relationship to Krishna. If it's not in relationship to Krishna, it's maya. And when it's in relationship, in proper relationship to Krishna, then it's all right. Prabhupada makes that comment, I think, a couple verses later. Sometimes in order to preach, we have to accept many material activities, but we should remember that everything is for Krishna. If we remember this, then there's no chance of our being victimized by material activities. And if we forget this, we will be victimized. As soon as we forget Krishna, maya is already there. Just as soon as we remember Krishna, there's no maya. As soon as we forget Krishna, maya must be there. So careful we have to be. The compassion, feeling of compassion, should be in relationship to Krishna and in relationship to the soul, finally, because the soul is eternal. The material body of the living entity must come to an end. What is that in Bhagavad Gita? No, I don't know. No, another verse. Anyway, it's all right. Krishna says the material body of the living entity, it must come to an end. Therefore, we should be a little indifferent to the material situation. Prabhupada commented that, I think, a couple verses earlier, that we can't really do anything to improve the material situation of anyone. Material conditions are already established by the superior administration. According to one's karma, they cannot be changed. The only benefit we can render to suffering beings is to try to raise them to spiritual consciousness. That's the thing. And we should be very careful not to be misled by so-called welfare activities conducted in bodily terms. Generally, we find that if we approach some materialistic person for giving charity, for spreading Krishna consciousness, he'll say, "Well, what is the use of this? What social welfare does it bring? What good are you doing for people? Now, it's nice that you want to build a temple, but what good are you doing for people?" Do they say that? What good are you doing for people? What are you doing to help people? Temple is a nice thing, but what are you doing to help people? And if you tell them that you're building an orphanage, you're building a hospital, you're building a... they'll think it's wonderful. You're doing something to help people. Why? Because they're in the bodily concept of life. They're under the illusion that the bodily situation can be changed, that by our own effort we can make this a better world. And that all this spiritual stuff is nice, but it doesn't really do anything to to people, unless it makes their life better in the material world. If the person who's a drug addict can be freed from his drug habits by religion, then religion is very nice. If people can be made to stop fighting by religion, then religion is very nice. In other words, if religion serves some material purpose for making this a better world in which to enjoy sense gratification, then religion is very nice. Otherwise, religion is a waste of time, basically. It's nice, some nice sentiment, but it really is not of much value. Because they're thinking in terms of the body. They want to make this a better world in which bodily happiness will be nicely going on. Everyone will be happy, especially me. But they don't actually know the source of happiness. They don't actually know that material happiness is actually a kind of disease of the conditioned soul. They think that happiness means happiness. Happiness is good, suffering is bad. But actually suffering is bad and happiness is bad. Or even sometimes suffering is good. Suffering is better than happiness, because at least by suffering I start to think that the material world is not a nice place. That there's some sort of problem here that I have to solve. Suffering may help me more. The suffering person becomes more serious. And the person who's happy, he forgets everything. He gets some little temporary pleasure. And he forgets why he's here, who he is, what the purpose of life is. Forgets everything. The boy meets a girl, the girl smiles at him and blinks her eyes a couple times, and everything else in the world goes away. Everything else in the world goes away. He forgets everything else because she smiled at him. Nothing else matters. This is called Maya. One just forgets everything else. So that little happiness and the real purpose of life goes away. Therefore, both suffering and happiness are equally undesirable. We're not interested in the happiness of this material world or the suffering of the material world. Not that an advanced transcendentalist simply wants to suffer. And he certainly doesn't want to enjoy. He wants to get beyond this suffering and enjoyment and be situated in devotional service to Krishna. He wants to develop his love for Krishna. Of course, suffering, little voluntary suffering, according to Vedic principles, may be good for my spiritual life. To accept some voluntary inconvenience, that's called tapasya, may be helpful. Not more. Not that simply torture. That's austerity in the mode of ignorance. To torture, you know, the people who put hooks in their body and drag carts and with some line attached to the cart. This is suffering, undoubtedly. But it's not favorable for spiritual advancement. Or the suffering undertaken for some material purpose. That Vrikasura, since Vrika is mentioned here, the Vrikasura was cutting off flesh from his body to offer to Lord Shiva. And in this way, certainly he was undergoing great austerity, but it was in the mode of ignorance. Because his objective was to achieve some horrible benediction, actually, by which he would be able to create harm for others. By getting the blessing that whoever he touched on the head would have his head fall off. So it was tapasya, but it was in ignorance. And there's also tapasya and goodness. That's described in the Bhagavad Gita. There's austerity of the mind, austerity of the body, austerity of speech. To say things that are truthful and pleasing, to recite the Vedic literature regularly, to speak on spiritual topics. This is austerity in the mode of goodness in relationship to speech. And mana prasada somyatvam sthariyamatma vinigram. To be satisfied is the first item in austerity of the mind. To be satisfied. Alright, this is what I got. Fine. Mana prasada sada somyatvam sthariyamatma vinigram. Then there's steadiness, self-control. Then there's, for the body, there's brahmacharya. And these different items are mentioned. Body, mind, and words. Favorable austerity. Favorable austerity. So austerity, charity, compassionate activities, everything should be directed toward the satisfaction of Krishna. If it's not directed toward the satisfaction of Krishna, shramayava hi kevalam, it's simply a waste of time. Simply a waste of time. And therefore these things have to be done as directed by the Shastras and the bona fide spiritual master. It's not that we simply say, this is compassionate, but this is truthful, but this is an austerity, but this is some, no, not simply that because it's charitable or because it's austere or because it's compassionate or because it's clean or because it's this or because it's that, it's necessarily favorable for Krishna consciousness. And the example is here that Bharat Maharaj was certainly compassionate, but the result of his compassion was material attachment and forgetfulness of Krishna. It got to the point where he'd sit down to meditate and immediately his mind would fill up with the deer. Where's the deer? What's going on with the deer? Go out and check on the deer. His mind became deerful. He became deer conscious instead of Krishna conscious. So therefore the things have to be done in such a way, under proper direction, that I don't get pulled away from the path. The philanthropy trap is there. But why be a devotee? Everybody will say, what are you doing for the world? You can be a philanthropist. Everybody will say, you are great. And you can think that I am great. I'm feeding so many school children. I am great. I'm doing great service. And it must be true because the governor says so, and the newspaper says so, and this politician and my relatives all, everyone says it's great. But is it approved by this bona fide spiritual master? Is it approved by Shastra? Or is it simply mundane welfare work? It's simply that I do mundane welfare work and I say it's for Krishna. It's not satisfying. We have to satisfy Krishna under the direction of Krishna or the bona fide representative of Krishna. Then we know, yes, this is right. And even though it may be something very good, if it's not done in the way mentioned or prescribed by the spiritual master, or if it's done opposite, then even though the whole world may say it's good, it's dead. It may appear to be a great success, but it's a failure. It may appear to be so beneficial, but it's actually harmful. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a phrase, harm-giving kindness. Harm-giving kindness. And Prabhupada's example was that boy who had cholera and his brother gave him something to eat when the doctor had said that actually he should fast. So it seemed to be kindness, but it was harm-giving kindness. So in this way we should be careful. Everything should be done according to the proper direction, and we should be very careful that Maya doesn't catch us. We should strictly follow the four regulative principles, chant Hare Krishna, get up early in the morning, attend Mangala Arati, do all of these things ordered by the bona fide spiritual master, and be well situated in Krishna consciousness and not be trapped. All right, some questions? Quite a question? Yeah. Prabhupada mentions that particularly a grihastha should be detached.
Practicing detachment.
Yes.
And at the same time, it says, of course, the family members are natural objects of affection.
Mm.
Now, for a grihastha, there is no monitoring by sannyas order for day-to-day life.
No.
So, we can get carried away by this word of, you know, naturally being affectionate.
Mm.
At the same time, we also are aware that there has to be detachment. So what is the way a grihastha can assess himself? Okay, am I balancing the two?
He should see, grihastha should see how he's becoming, how his affection for Krishna is increasing. And he should be always a little careful about affection increasing on the material side. Because the tendency is there. Just like a person, some people like kapha constitution. You know, if they eat a string bean, they start gaining weight. You know, they drink a nimbupani and they start gaining weight. It's just the tendency of that constitution that whatever they eat, immediately they'll gain. Just like I have the opposite constitution. I can eat three pieces a day and I'll stay 145 pounds for the rest of my life. It won't change. But some people, you know, their physical constitution is such that the tendency is there. It wants to gain weight. So they have to be very careful. Not to eat too much of this, not to eat too much of that. Always exercising every day, all of these things. So grihastha life is something like that. The tendency is to get fat. Sometimes literally, you know, the same person who was sort of slim and trim, he gets married and starts growing. The wife is cooking very nicely and serving very nicely, and he's eating very nicely and growing. And even if he's not physically growing, the tendency is there to expand materially, to buy more things, to arrange for more comforts, to have more an expanding affection in the material sphere. So the grihasthas have to be a little vigilant, that always to be watching, am I becoming more materially attached? In the items of knowledge, asakta anabhishvanga putra dharva grihadishu. One of the items of knowledge is asakta anabhishvanga, not to be more attached to children, wife, family, than ordained by revealed scriptures. This was Prabhupada's translation of it. Not to be more attached than ordained by revealed scriptures. For a simple measure, we have a principle, no illicit sex. So what is illicit sex? Illicit sex means, first of all, outside of husband and wife, and then between husband and wife, not for having children. Not for having children. The principle is that the sex should be accepted during the period of fertility only for the purpose of having a child. But if I'm not following that principle, I can understand that my affection has gone beyond what is ordained by the scriptures and the spiritual master. I can understand, that's a simple, you know, like objective rather than how I feel, and that's an objective measurement. If I'm going past that point, then I can understand that my material affection has increased more than it ought to. More than it ought to. And assuming that's not an issue, then still always I should be a little careful that I'm not increasing and increasing and increasing in my material affection. I should always be aware that my situation in householder life is temporary, my situation in this body is temporary. And in this way, always be a little careful. Srila Sri Narada Muni advised King Yudhisthira that externally you should always be showing a lot of affection. And internally, you should be very detached. In householder affairs, if externally we're cold and you know, no demonstration of love, then householder life will be very unpleasant. The wife or the husband will feel very unhappy, and householder life will be very difficult. On the other hand, if we become completely affectionate and just dive into that world, we may never be seen again. So therefore, Narada Muni advises that externally you show yourself affectionate and internally detached. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also advised Raghunath Das Goswami the same way when Raghunath Das was in his householder ashram, that outwardly you should appear like a pukka businessman and a materially attached householder, but internally you should be detached. So in this way one has to arrange things, always being careful that the tendency is there to be carried away by this affection. When it's natural, we say natural affection. Well, what makes it natural? This body makes it natural. Because I have this body, I'm affectionate to family members and even pets and so on. Otherwise, if the body weren't there, or if it weren't for the body, this kind of thing, just, I'm so affectionate to my mother. I'm not so affectionate to your mother. Why not? Because of this body. Because the affection is resting on the bodily relationship. So now it doesn't mean we should, you know, all reject our mother and be mean and cruel to them, but we should know that this is in relationship to the body. So inwardly I have to, at least inwardly I should be detached. Not, I have to see the thing with eyes of knowledge and not be carried away. Yes? That microphone which is sitting in your lap doing nothing is actually meant for this person who's asking the question.
Maharaj, extension of the same question. After being in Krishna consciousness, you try to understand that whatever appears to be yours belongs to Krishna. So in your placement in Advaita the light, you have a family member, you have a wealth, you have a position, and in the process of learning you try to put everything, you utilize everything in Krishna's service, but because of inexperienced, Maharaj. Many times that service, apparently we are trying to utilize that thing for Krishna's service, but it is the attachment which takes over, Maharaj. And we are trying to utilize for our own pleasure, Maharaj. So there is always a struggle whether we are doing it for Krishna's service or whether we are doing it for ourselves.
Therefore, the Vanaprastha Ashram is finally recommended. In householder life, this struggle, this tension will be there. Then the family tendency is pulling me in one direction, and detachment is pulling me in another direction. How can I be detached and attached at the same time? So while I'm in householder life, I have to somehow manage that. I have to be somewhat attached, but as detached as possible. So it's something of a struggle. So we should struggle on and be as successful in that endeavor as we possibly can. And then at a certain point, we should pack it in. We should say, all right, I've done this, I've done the best job I could do, and now we are moving on. This is, in any endeavor, you know, a contractor comes, he does the best work he possibly does, and he moves on. The doctor does the best he possibly can for the patient and moves on to the next patient. And not that he's, you know, I've got to do more for this person for, you know, for the next 50 years. He does what he reasonably can and moves on. So similarly in householder life, we should manage, we should do it as nicely as we possibly can for the service of Krishna. And then at the mature stage, we should say, all right, I've done that. And now I'm moving on to the next stage. And I have to do that nicely also. That's the stage where detachment is more suitable, or more natural, where it's more conducive to. It's meant to be. Householder life is for managing attachment. Attachment is there, but I have to manage it in such a way that it's minimum, and that everything can somehow be turned toward Krishna. Then, when I'm in Vanaprastha life, I'm managing in such a way that the detachment becomes the main thing. Still, wife may be there in Vanaprastha ashram. May or may not be, there's flexibility. But in that ashram, the purpose now is increasing detachment. Same association is there, everything may be there, but the purpose now is, okay, more detachment, more detachment, more detachment. And finally, sannyas. Is that okay? Then you can ask him to let him, they'll hear in Hindi also. So. That doesn't stretch, okay.
Question is, you said Bharat Maharaj became dear consciousness, dear conscious rather than Krishna conscious. And we see in business dealings, a person becomes business conscious and he is trying to remain Krishna conscious. So his point is how this can be done, whereas what he has seen or what he has experienced is that those who have become successful in Krishna consciousness, they have usually given up business life. So his question is, so whether we should continue business and try to become Krishna conscious or just give up business?
Business and Krishna consciousness are not necessarily incompatible. Arjuna was doing business, his business was fighting, but it was not. Krishna said, you do both things, mamanu smara yudhyacha, you think of me and fight. So business also, they're one-fourth of the, one of the varnas is the business community. It's not that Krishna consciousness is meant only for the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas, and the Vaishyas or the Shudras should be excluded. They're supposed to be Krishna conscious also. It's meant for everyone. Now, how are the Vaishyas or the business people to be Krishna conscious? Well, one thing we know, they should dedicate everything to Krishna. They should mold their life in such a way that everything is offered to Krishna. Another guideline is we should be a little careful not to become, especially those who are very serious about Krishna consciousness, not to become too business-minded. If we've taken it that my real goal in life, my highest priority in life, is to attain Krishna consciousness, then my business life should be such that it's as much as required, but not more. Just like eating. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean give up eating. You have to eat. But it means, now that I've decided to be Krishna conscious, I'm not going to eat more than required. Because more than required means becoming dull, becoming unfit for spiritual activities. So now that I'm serious about Krishna consciousness, I'll eat only as much as required, just to keep body and soul together. So if one is serious about Krishna consciousness, then his business life should be like that, as much as necessary. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted to simplify, that there should be farm communities where the grihasthas can live very simply, some simple business, take care of the cows, cultivate crops, do some simple trading. Not that we become mega capitalists and we're taking over the world and, you know, I'm buying and selling and trading and always wrapped up in thinking of the next big thing. And it becomes a kind of intoxication. Now I've got this much, I can get that much, I'll turn this into that, I'll leverage my assets, da 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 da. Just what you need. Someone was telling me a story yesterday. Forget who was telling me this story. Some lady was doing madhukari, and her necessities were 50 rupees a day. And she was begging in some place, going from person to person or whatever. And some man saw her and gave her 50 rupees. She took 10 rupees and gave him 40 rupees back. She said, my necessities are 50 rupees a day. Already I have 40 rupees, so I'm taking your 10 rupees and the other 40 rupees you can take back. Not to take more than required. And tomorrow you may see me, you can give me more. But today my business is finished. So of course in business life we're not going to be like that. But the same principle, not to take more than necessary, not to be so wrapped up in business, simply business for the sake of business. I should bring my necessities down, or bring my life down to what I actually require. And by reducing my necessities, I reduce the amount I have to earn, so that it becomes reasonable and doesn't eat me alive. And then I should do something. Prabhupada said a grihastha invents some simple means of earning a livelihood, and Krishna helps him. So the key is to simplify, not to become more and more wrapped up in business. But I'm doing business to meet my necessities so that I can execute my Krishna conscious activities. Not that I'm doing business and more business and more business, and someplace in there I somehow or other manage to do the minimal Krishna conscious. No. Krishna consciousness is my first priority. And everything else is adjusted to that. And if you're, you know, very capable, you may manage some huge business without having it impinge on your spiritual progress. We have devotees who are like that. They can manage big material affairs, and it doesn't overwhelm their Krishna consciousness. It doesn't overshadow their spiritual purpose. But we may not be like that. If I'm, you know, a simple person destined to earn not so much money, then I should, you know, live like a simple person and not try to turn myself into, you know, the next Krishna conscious Birla or something like that. You know, take what Krishna has given me. Mana prasada somyatam. Live simply, straightforwardly, be satisfied with what I get, and then I'll be happy. Kuladetra Sridhar was doing a business selling, what, banana bark cups, and he was hardly getting very much, but alright, this is my life. And he was using practically everything for doing Ganga Seva, and his life was completely successful. Not that because he didn't have a cell phone his life was a failure. He got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What more do you need? Something else?
Goal of life is to see Krishna in everything and every person, and to see everything within Krishna. As we grow up in Krishna consciousness, the heart becomes soft, and the goal is to get tears as soon as we hear the name of Krishna. Philosophy, when we take philosophy or we take up knowledge, and we become sharper and sharper, cutting, and it makes the heart hard.
No. We want to be soft but not mushy. You know, there's just like there's some preparations, they should be soft, like vegetable. You know, you want it to be soft, but you don't want it to be mushy. So the heart also should be soft, but not mushy. Soft means that when Krishna is there, then the heart becomes like butter. But when Maya is there, it's not that the heart is so soft that it's equally buttery toward Maya. No. It's not that Jiva Goswami... Jiva Goswami is known as the greatest philosopher. But it's not that his heart was hard like a rock. It was soft. Krishna kirtana gana natanaka prema mitapa. It's not the only... Rupa Goswami was chanting and dancing in ecstasy, and Jiva Goswami was, you know, writing books and doing logical arguments and really had no... Pav, no sneha, no affection. They were all absorbed in the ecstasy of loving Krishna. But Jiva Goswami was expressing his ecstatic sentiments by glorifying Krishna through logic, arguments, scriptural treatises, sandarbhas. It's not that he was, you know, hard-hearted. But simply to cultivate knowledge, simply to cultivate detachment outside of the context of Krishna consciousness will make the heart very hard. So that we should be careful about.
Is that the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. What is the meaning of ether in scientifically and practically?
Yeah, this is a different question. How did ether get into the today's class?
Yes, very most senior. That's why I want to.
However senior I am, today I didn't bring the topic up. So are there any other questions about today's topics?
Hare Krishna. We are seeing in the case of Garbhadatta, Maharaj Garbhadatta was slowly and gradually he was pivoting from his devotional service. So what are the symptoms devotee face while he is doing his, whether he is doing his devotional service nicely or not?
How your attraction for Krishna is increasing. Attraction for chanting, attraction for the books, attraction for the deities. Right. Here, if Bharat Maharaj had stopped and looked at it, he would have said, what is this? I sit down to meditate and I start thinking about the deer. I eat with the deer, I lie down with the deer, I walk with the deer. My God, I'm becoming deer conscious. If he'd looked at it, he would have, you know, the symptoms were all there. We can look at it, we can see. But he wasn't looking. And again, this is Maya. Maya catches you with just a little bit, and you start not seeing. Pashyanapi na pashyati. You see, but you don't see. So one thing is to be always sharp so that we'll see. Sharp means by chanting, by following the regulative principles, by attending the classes regularly, by all of these programs. And another thing is to take benefit, help from others, especially those who are more advanced. When they say, call you aside, say, Prabhuji, you know, I've noticed such and such thing. You know, don't mind, but do you really need, you know, Brahmachari Prabhu, that silk kurta with the gold buttons and the, you know, the fancy watch and the, all of that? You know, they'll see. You may not see, but they'll see. So if we can hear from others who are, especially those who are more advanced and well-wishers, who are seeing, who have a different perspective, we're seeing from within only, they're seeing from outside, and if we hear from them, then that can save us. So many times, someone could have been saved if only he would have listened. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trinada Pishanichi. If we remain humble, we can hear. And if we're puffed up, listen, I know what I'm doing, okay? You know, Prabhupada said, da 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 da, and we can't hear from anyone, then we are setting ourselves up. The only person I can listen to is myself, because nobody else really understands what's what. We're setting ourselves up. So, personally, we should be vigilant so that, you know, we keep a watch, but also be willing to hear from others who may be watching out for us. Even the strong swimmers, they go out and swim in pairs. One is, you know, swimming and doing everything, and the other is also, you know, looking out for him.
Hare Krishna. As time passes by in Krishna consciousness, so how do we keep the same high spirit? Or how do we then become an insignificant in the devotion?
Time passing means we should be doing more. Now as time's passing, we're chanting more, we're serving more, we're reading more. If time passing means now I'm chanting less, I'm reading less, I'm not seeing the deities regularly, I come to Mangalarti now and then all the time that's passing will mean, you know, it's like business. When it's failing and bleeding money, the more time goes on, the more the money is leaving until finally the business goes bankrupt. And when the business is well managed, you know, the more time passes, the more the capital is growing, the more branches are being established, the more customers are coming, the more everything is growing. So it's up to you to manage it nicely, so that the more the time passes in your Krishna consciousness, the more you'll grow in your spiritual life.
But as we pass more time in Krishna consciousness, the attack of Maya is also more. So how
well,
do we...
Well, fight back.
How do we even determine that to fight back?
You know what the weapon is. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yaha Krishna taha nahi Hare Krishna. There's not some like principle that the longer you go, the more your Krishna consciousness diminishes. It's not that that's some sort of principle that we somehow or other have to live with. No. Just the opposite. By being serious about all these activities, hearing, chanting, remembering. Anything else? Ether is Akash. It's a subtle element.
What is the symptom of a person who is completely satisfied?
He doesn't want to eat anymore. And he feels full. These are the symptoms of a person who feels fully satisfied. So in Krishna consciousness also, a person is fully satisfied. He doesn't want any material thing. He feels that, Naya Krishna, what do I need Maya for? Anything else? The elements get increasingly subtle. Fire, the earth you can hold in your hand. Water, it's not so easy to hold. Fire you can't even touch. Then air you can't even see. Can't even see it. You know, here, have some air. You can't see it. Then ether is still more subtle. Earth you can see, you can touch, you can taste, you can smell. The water, you can't smell it. And fire, no smell, no taste. Then you come to air, not visible. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. And it's still more subtle, no touch. Then you go beyond that, mind is there, intelligence is there. So Prabhupada explains a little more about ether in context of Sankhya philosophy, third canto. You can find out there more about the qualities of ether. But it's subtle, that's the summer. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.